What questions would you like to be asking this morning? What questions about Jesus would you like to ask me this morning? So some of you will have these questions in your hearts and may be afraid to voice these questions. So maybe I should say to you, welcome to Salvation 101. So today we want to give the basics of salvation, because we heard those basics read for us from our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Because if we want to talk about salvation, we talk about the person of Jesus Christ. And so the writer to the letter of the Hebrews, to the Hebrews, he presented Jesus to us today. He said all these things about Jesus. And so as he presented him, but I want to make sure that I don't forget any of these words. Make sure to have it here. Because the older you get, the more you forget. But none of you can understand this because we have no other old people here but me. But the writer to the Hebrews, in referring to Jesus today, refers to him as a priest. A priest. And what does a priest do? Because very often we forget what a priest does. A priest is appointed by God to offer sacrifices. And in the Old Testament, we'd have all of these high priests who offered sacrifices. And day after day, time after time, they would go into the Holy of Holies, they would offer these sacrifices, and they would offer them for their own sins and the sins of all the people. And then along came Jesus. Along came Jesus, the great high priest. This was the Jesus who would not be offering a sacrifice for himself, but rather he was offering a sacrifice on behalf of all the people. And in our letter to the Hebrews, it says that he offered this sacrifice once and for all. Did you hear that? Once and for all. So it therefore means that the offering of Jesus was efficacious. The offering of Jesus is efficacious. The offering of Jesus will always be efficacious. So that offering of Jesus doesn't need any help. We don't have to add anything to it. And we cannot subtract anything from it. It was offered once and for all. And it is effective today as it was on that day. It does not need any help. And therefore, on the night before he died, Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, instituted that great Eucharistic meal. He took bread, he took wine, and he said to them, "This is my body, this is my blood." And then he told them, "Do this in memory of me. Do this in order to remember that sacrifice. Do this." And because he wanted them to do this, he was saying there is nothing else. that needed to be done. And so, faithful to what Jesus said on that night and did, we continue to offer that sacrifice. Did you hear me? That sacrifice. It is not offering another sacrifice. It is not the offering of another Jesus. It is offering that one sacrifice, offering it in this unbloody manner. Because there is nothing that I can do at this altar that can add anything to what Jesus did. And there's nothing that you can do to add anything to what Jesus did. And therefore, we look and we see people saying all kinds of things about the Eucharist. And they want to add this thing here, and they want to add another thing there, and they want to subtract a thing here and another thing there. No. It's the one sacrifice that has been given to the church, and it is efficacious until the end of time. So on that night, Jesus said to his disciples, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until we drink that together in the kingdom of heaven. So we say, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Until he comes. And therefore, sisters and brothers, when we come together for this celebration, we need to remember, we need to remind ourselves where we are. Because I know that some people, they come and they're not paying attention to what is going on. They're doing their own thing. And I dare say, I have seen people on their phones at Mass. And they're not following the Mass on their phones. But they're sending text messages to other people. There are persons who come to Mass and they're having conversations during Mass with other people. It ought not to happen. We should be focused on what's going on. The only persons who have permission to be doing something else is the parents who have to take care of their children. And guess what? Even in taking care of their little ones, I pray that they're offering that as part of their worship too. And therefore, we come together. And as we come together, we're coming looking at Jesus, because we're told by this in this letter. It says, therefore, he is able, he meaning who? Jesus. He's able, sorry, left out an important word. He's always able. Always. He's always able to save those who approach God through him. Always. And therefore, we come to approach God through him. And when we think of that approach, think about the beginning of the Mass. That when the priest comes in, what does he do? He venerates the altar of sacrifice. And then when we offer the incense, it's around the altar and the crucifix. Because we're pointing out the two ways in which we're approaching God through him. We're approaching him as the author of our salvation. We're approaching him as the one who has given himself totally for us, and the one who continues to give himself. So let us focus on him. And let us approach God through him. Because we're told he lives forever to make intercession for us. He lives forever to make that intercession. And an intercession is an offering, because that's what priests do. They offer. They offer. And the day I forget that that is what I should be doing as a priest is the day that I should trade this in for a nice set of Armani suits. So we're here to offer, to make intercession. And that's what we're doing at the altar. Because when I approach the altar, I'll ask God to accept the gifts that we all present. So you're a part of that offering. So make sure that you're fully engaged in that offering. And remember that when we give our gifts, we shouldn't be given the gift in order to take it up again. But we give a gift and we're saying, God, this is yours. Use it as you see fit. Use it however you wish. Use it for as long as you will. Because I offer this in union with the prevailing sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. So let us make that offering today with Jesus. Because by putting ourselves in the offering, we're not really adding anything to his offering. But we're saying that we're offering this in union with his own offering. Therefore, let us keep our eyes focused on the altar and on the cross. And let us take that with us wherever we go. Because we are always signed with the sign of the cross, aren't we? And therefore, when we think about being signed with that cross, know that we are offered in union with Jesus. So I know, my dear brothers and sisters, that so often we talk about being distracted. And you see, the distraction does not come from outside. Every distraction comes from within. Every distraction, because we allow ourselves to be distracted. So let us be focused. Let us be focused on Jesus, who is the author of our salvation. And let us accept the salvation that he brings to each one of us. And let us, as we share in this, also take his offering into the world, that through us, persons may see who Jesus is, and that they, in their turn, will come and recognize him and make their approach to God through him and find their salvation.